This is Roy Bowden, and I'm interviewing Vern Larson at his house in Anniston. And the subject will be his years of our past in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Vern. How about did you become interested in flying?
Well, I graduated from high school in 1943, and the World War II was going real strong at that time, so I knew that if I didn't get into something, I was going to be drafted.
Mm-hmm.
So the Navy recruited me. However, I told them that I had headaches, and they washed me out on my physical for that reason. So I walked out, and this was in Minneapolis, so I walked out of the door of the naval office, and by pure luck across the street was an Army Air Corps recruiting place. Well, I'm not very smart, but I didn't tell them about those headaches. They thought I might have had migraine headaches as a child.
Okay. Yeah. And that would have kept you from flying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it was the Army that went ahead and...
Yeah, the Army recruited me, and I had my physical in Fargo, North Dakota. I was living in La Crosse at that time, La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Okay. How old were you back then?
17.
17?
Mm-hmm.
Were you just out of college?
No. High school.
High school.
And they took the top people, as I understand it, or the people with reasonably good grades,
mm-hmm.
and recruited us. And anyway, I went to basic training after that. I was told, I went on the road as a musician, and I was, until I was 18, and I was down in Peoria, Illinois, when my mother called me and said, "Hey, we got a letter for you, report for active duty." So all I had was a tweed suit that I'd graduated from high school, and of course I was using it to play in this combo. And they had my basic training was in Miami Beach. Well, it sounds good, but it wasn't because it was in the summertime. Well, it was June 15th, June 20th. And so basic training was in Miami Beach. Well, they were shorty summer uniforms down there, so I had to train in that basic training in that tweed suit, little tweed suit. And it was hot.
Did you go overseas at all during?
No, I didn't see any combat.
You didn't see any?
I was in Montgomery at Maxwell Field in November of 45, and that's when the war with Japan ended.
Okay.
And so they expedited those of us that wanted to go off.
Right. Did you want to go?
No.
No?
No.
How did everybody else feel about going?
Well, there were probably 200 or 300 of us in my class, and they took us to a theater, and they made an unusual offer. They offered all of us a permanent master sergeant rating if we wanted to stay in. And of course, I think there were two that took them up on it, but they had previous enlisted time.
Okay. Is that pretty high ranking?
It's good for enlisted people. Of course, we were all second lieutenants, and we thought we were hot stuff. But all of us, most of us, got our commissions as second lieutenants when we were 19, which in this day and age is unheard of because you got to have some college training.
Right.
Well, the way they made up for it, after basic training, they sent us to different colleges around the country, and I happened to go to Wittenberg College in Springfield, Ohio, which is a Lutheran school. And they had us there for 4 or 5 months, supposedly giving us a college education.
Well, how did everybody act at home while during World War II was going on? Was everybody behind the war?
Oh, yeah, and it was everybody, you know, did what they had to. Women started working in factories, and I'm quite sure that was the beginning of the women workforce that we have today.
Were you still living at home when World War II started? Or
oh yeah, I sure was. That was in 1941, I believe. And it's well, who was I then? Probably a sophomore in high school.
Okay. How'd your parents react to it?
Well, my mother went to work at the Fort McCoy, which is at Camp McCoy at that time, which is an army base up at Sparta. And my dad, we were in the bar business. And I grew up in a bar. My dad kept on running a bar. And he was also a cabinet maker. This is during the Depression, I understand, and things were tough. So everybody didn't put the if they could.
Did that hit your family pretty hard, the Depression? Or?
Oh, yeah. It was tough. Even though my dad was in business, there was a local grocery store there that extended us credit, or heck, we'd have starved to death. It was tough. And an interesting sidelight, the bar, of course, sold beer and stuff. And this is before the days of ice machines. So what they did, they harvested ice out of the Mississippi River. The whole village turned out it was a village project. They gave it to the grocery stores and all the bars and restaurants in town. And we all had ice up. And they packed the ice in sawdust, and it lasted until winter.
Yeah, we started there.
And after CTD, College Training Detachment, we went to San Antonio, to San Antonio Aviation Cadet Center. They called it SAC. I think now it's called Lackland Air Force Base.
That's in San Antonio?
Yeah, and down there we got had classes in weather, navigation, the mechanics of the airplane, you know, things like that.
Okay.
And this was long before we got into an airplane.
How long did that last?
This lasted quite a while. Because of the war, the pilot schools were loaded, and so we stayed there an extra couple of months. I think we were there probably 6 months.
And that was all your...
All ground training.
All ground training.
Yeah.
When did you first get into a plane?
Well, from there I was sent to Quero, Texas. And Quero is south east of San Antonio. I don't know exactly, but it was probably 75, 80 miles, something like that. And it's a little town, and Quero we had civilian flight instructors down there at that time. And we had PT-19s, which is a Ryan airplane, low-wing airplane.
That's just a tail single driver, engine?
Single engine. And it had a overhead cam engine. I can remember that, but I'm trying to remember the... It was a Ranger engine that was made, I think, in England.
Is this a single-seater?
Yeah. And it didn't have a starter on it. It had an electric starter. It had an inertia starter. So whenever we trained, we had to have one of our... There were four of us with an instructor. We had one of our buddies go with us. And that buddy would crank this flywheel and get the inertia up. And then we'd engage it to the engine. And with a little luck, the engine would start. But it was a pretty good little airplane. And there from, we were there probably 4 months. And from there I went to Greenville, Texas, flying ET-13s.
Is that a fairly...
It's a much bigger airplane, heavy airplane, radio engine, tail driver. And we were there again for 4 months, and we had it. Our course was heavy in aerobatics. And they didn't call them aerobatics, they called them confidence maneuvers. The idea being that if you could, you know, got confident and could fly these, and could get yourself out of anything. Of course, we did a lot of spins and stuff. Snap rolls, stalls, slow rolls, Immelmann turns, Shondells, lazy hands. And it was fun. I've done that stuff recently, and it's not fun anymore.
Oh, gosh. Where did you, what did you move on to after
that? BT-13s up at Greenville, Texas. That's, oh, that was Wakely. Okay. Then from there, I went to advanced training, and this is in twin engine training, in a little twin. Everybody called it a bamboo bomber. It was an AT-10. And wasn't very fast, but it trained us, you know, we could fly it on one engine, sort of. Didn't have very much power. But we were there for, again, 4 or 5 months. That's when I graduated from cadets. And by that time, I think I was, it must have been March 45. No. Yeah, March 45. I graduated from there, and then I went to Eagle Pass, Texas, and I was flying AP-6s. Now, an AP-6 is a radial engine plane. It's around 600 horsepower. Bruno, he's quiet. And 600 horsepower, low-wing airplane. And before World War II, it was our fighter plane. They actually had a machine gun in the darn thing. I'd hate to end up fight anybody in that thing. But anyway, we were in Coro, which is right across the border from Mexico. I mean, Eagle Pass. And from Eagle Pass, then I was sent to Sebring, Florida. And flew. It was B-17 first pilot school. And
was it the bomber?
The bomber. And again, we went through a lot of ground school, a lot of mechanics, and a lot of cruise control, because these things had to fly long distances. Mm-hmm. And it was a fairly, after a while, it got to be fairly monotonous, because we just flew around Florida. And the Army, being safety conscious, would never let us fly in bad weather. I've told Sarah this story a couple of times, but one time a hurricane was coming, and we had a, my roommate and I had to fly a B-17 to Dallas. And of course, you know, the weather is around a hurricane. Well, we've never been in that kind of weather before. And, but we picked up 4 or 5 hitchhikers that were fighter pilots that had just returned from England. They were old pros. And they got up in the cockpit, and they saw these two kids flying this big airplane. And all the ADF, which is a low frequency thing, was our primary instrument at that time. And that thing always pointed at lightning and stuff, so that darn needle was all over the place. But we started getting screwed up. Frankly, if one of those old fighter pilots hadn't taken over one, we probably wouldn't have made it. We were in bad weather, real bad. And they kept things under cool, told us how to handle it. And of course, they didn't know how to fly the airplane.
But they could keep you calm enough to...
Yeah, right. Pierre LaVarge and I, became quite well-to-do in St. Louis. He was my classmate. It was interesting. I landed the Dallas and took a train back.
Oh, gosh. Well, that sounds pretty exciting.
But we were there, and Sebring was a lot of fun. We went up to Ocala and down to Miami and hitchhiked around. I had a classmate from Wisconsin that was at Jacksonville at that time. And he and I went to, the heck is the name of the, where the water skiing is? Ocala? Winter Haven? Anyway, they had ski, a lot of water skiing at that time, which had been 1945. And he or I had never been on skis before. And this guy tried to pull us up, two of us at the same time. Of course, we didn't go 10 feet. And that was enough of that. Winter Haven? Silver Springs, I think it is.
Okay.
I think it's Silver Springs. But we graduated from B-17s, and then I was sent, this must have been about in June, and I was sent from there to Montgomery, Alabama, and find, because of my age I was, and the experience, I was in a B-29 co-pilot school, but we flew the left seat a lot. Interesting. Mm-hmm. We flew, got a lot of time in a B-17. It was the first tricycle gear airplane that I'd ever flown. In other words, it didn't have a tail wheel, nose wheel. And because of that, after you went through the complicated checklist and everything, it was probably the easiest airplane we had ever flown up to that time.